This is Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. This November, recreational marijuana legalization is on the ballot in the state of Missouri. But it's not just as simple as making it legal, as there are many other questions to consider, such as how should it be taxed? How are expungements handled for those who have been convicted of marijuana-related crimes in the past? And how do we go about rolling out recreational weed equitably? Well, we're about to dive into those thorny questions. We're joined now by John Payne. He's the campaign manager for Legal Mo 2022. John, welcome to the show. Nice to have you.
Yeah, good to be here.
Give us your elevator pitch for your ballot initiative, John.
Sure. So this will do three primary things. One, it will legalize the use and consumption and possession, cultivation in personal amounts of marijuana for all adults over the age of 21 here in the state of Missouri. It will also expunge all nonviolent marijuana offenses from the past, with the exception of sales to minors and driving under the influence of marijuana. And finally, it will also raise tens of millions of dollars of new revenues for the state. The market in this is estimated somewhere around $1 billion annually after the first couple of years. And that money would be used, the tax dollars off that would be, tens of millions, upwards of $40 million a year estimated by the state auditor's office. That money would be used to help pay for drug abuse and addiction prevention services, help out Missouri veterans, to help process those expungements that I mentioned earlier, and also to benefit the state's badly underfunded public defender program.
Oh, why did you set the age at 21 and not 18?
Well, we wanted to treat this basically like we treat alcohol, and that is, that's the age limit for alcohol consumption in the state, and that's also the age limit that's been set by every single other state that has done this so far.
You know, I wanted to ask you about Missouri Democrats who have declined to endorse this issue, John. And it's surprising because it's generally considered to be an issue that Democrats support. Representatives have made it clear that they're not at all opposed to marijuana legalization, just to the way this measure is being rolled out. And one major aspect of that is that they don't believe that licenses are being rolled out equitably, even telling our producer, Zach Wilson, that so-called micro-licenses are a sham. What about that? What's your pushback to that?
Yeah, so Missouri already has some of the most licenses of any state in the country, whether medical or adult use, at least number of licenses per capita. And we would be adding a minimum of 144 new licenses, and those would be reserved for people that meet different social equity criteria. And these are going to be valuable licenses that are going to put some equity back into those communities. So I definitely reject the idea that it's some kind of sham. They will have a substantial value, and that's going to make a difference for the people who win those.
John, explain how this lottery is going to work for these licenses, because I understand there's a list of social equity criteria that have to be met here in order to apply for a license. Do I have that right?
Yeah, well, it's not that all those criteria have to be met, but the majority ownership of anyone who is applying, any entity that is applying to hold one of these licenses, they have to meet one of those criteria, at least one of those criteria. And this is pretty similar to what the state of Illinois did, what New York and New Jersey and Connecticut have all done on this issue in the last few years. I believe Ohio also had similar rules on some of their recent dispensary applications. But the different criteria, I don't remember all of them off the top of my head, but those include being a service disabled veteran, include coming from a census tract where the level of marijuana prohibition enforcement was higher than the state average, having a lower a net income that is less than 250% of the poverty level for the last 7 of 10 years, coming from a school district that's unaccredited. Those are some of the big ones.
You say a third of the licenses will come from this lottery. What about the other two thirds?
So the 144 new licenses will come from this new lottery. The licenses that are already out there and existing, the medical marijuana licenses, will be able to convert to what we call comprehensive licenses shortly after the amendment passes, and get the program started in short order.
What is the idea behind letting many of the medical marijuana license holders continue on and get recreational licenses as well, John? How are you going about doing that, and why was that decision made?
Well, it's the same thing that has been done in every state that has passed marijuana legalization, basically because they are entities that are set up to and already doing this in almost every meaningful way. The only difference is going to be that they are going to be able to expand who they're selling to. So if we want to get a legal, regulated, and taxed market up and running as quickly as possible, essentially we have an opportunity to do that at hand. We only need to change over a few regulatory issues, and that should be done fairly quickly. The Department of Health and Senior Services is under, they would, once this passes, they would have a 60-day window in which to essentially get those rules and regs updated, and then the current medical marijuana licensees could begin selling adult use marijuana.
Okay. Again, the concern you hear is that this measure isn't doing enough to help people of color and those in disadvantaged communities obtain these licenses. You also hear that about concerns with multi-state operators running the show in Missouri's cannabis industry. What about that, John?
So this is probably the industry that has the least amount of multi-state operators, at least at its inception. And this really wasn't necessarily the intent of how we wrote this initially, but there's a provision that there's a provision that prevents publicly traded companies from holding any licenses in Missouri, and so that has meant that many of the larger companies in the nation that operate all over the country do not operate here in Missouri. Some of them started to make inroads, but most of them did not win licenses in the initial round. So this is probably the, at least as it started out, the industry that had the most in-state ownership of any in the country. Now there have been since then the federal courts have struck down the Missouri ownership requirement that required 50% 50+1% of the ownership be held by Missouri residents. And so since then there have been more multi-state operators that are based outside of Missouri coming in. But certainly at the outset, this was a very heavily Missouri-owned industry.
We're talking about the push to legalize recreational marijuana in Missouri. It's on the November ballot. You know, John, I know in a lot of states, I wanted to ask you about the tax rate, because in a lot of states like Washington, the rate is at like a 35% tax rate level. Taxes are really high on recreational marijuana sales. As well, your initiative would have only a 6% tax at the state level and up to a 3% municipal tax. Why'd you settle in that area so much lower than other states?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest reason is that we've seen in the states that set it much more highly that they are not eliminating the illicit market. And that's really got to be the goal here. And so we wanted to do something that is going to still generate a lot of tax revenue for the state, but also not push people out of the regulated system. And so that seems to be kind of a sweet spot, somewhere around the 10% range, maybe a little bit lower. And we also have to keep in mind that at some point, and I don't think it's going to be anytime soon, but I do think in the foreseeable future, 5-10 years, the federal government is going to legalize marijuana, and they're probably going to levy some kind of tax on it. And that's going to stack on top of the existing state and local taxes. Hmm. So if you set a 15-20% tax rate, and then the federal government comes in and does the same thing, then again, we have this problem of pushing people back out into the illicit market.
So you're saying that the cost on the street in Kansas City, for example, will be roughly what someone can buy in one of the new stores?
I mean, that is the goal. And I think that, the costs have been coming down pretty dramatically since the medical program started. I think they're going to continue to fall. And so, I think that we're going to see people paying commensurate prices in dispensaries compared to what they can buy on the illicit market in the relatively near future.
My guest is John Payne. He's the campaign manager for Legal Mo 2022, the effort to legalize recreational marijuana in Missouri. Let's shift the focus here to expungement, John. You call the expungement plan in this ballot initiative the broadest expungement in the country. Explain the specifics of how you can make that claim there.
Yeah, I mean, one of the biggest factors is that this is going to expunge offenses automatically. People will not have to go and apply by hiring an attorney and going to the courts. The courts are actually ordered to begin the expungement process on the effective date. And they have a specific timeline for when they have to clear the expungements based on, the least serious offenses are prioritized first, and then the more serious offenses later. But they have a specific timeline to get it done. And we actually put some of that, as I mentioned earlier, some of those tax revenues from the sale of marijuana into the court system to, do the actual work of clearing those offenses. And there's only one other state that has had an automatic expungement program. Every other state that has done this, you've had to go and hire an attorney, file paperwork, right, which becomes costly, time consuming. And so the only other state that has done this automatically is New York. And the limit for them is 16 ounces. Any offense, the only offenses that they will clear automatically go up to 16 ounces. For us, it is every nonviolent marijuana offense, with the exception of sales to minors and driving under the influence. Now, the most serious felonies, if you're currently serving that sentence, you would have to wait till the sentence is complete on the A and B felonies and some of the C felonies. But as soon as the sentence is complete, it's still automatically expunged off the record.
So who's going to pay for all this expungement, and who's going to do the work to make sure that records are actually ultimately expunged, John?
Yeah, so who would pay for it is essentially the license holders and the people that are consuming the adult use marijuana, because that's where the fee and tax revenue will come from for the program, and the circuit courts would be the ones that go through their records and find, here's a record that is of a case that where it's a, let's say a marijuana possession case for an ounce. And then they take that, and if it's a physical record, they literally will take it and, seal it and make sure. And they'll also send out a notice to the person receiving the expungement that the record has been expunged, and that they can legally tell people that neither the arrest nor the conviction nor the trial, any of it, in a legal sense, happened. It has all been wiped from the record.
Right. Is this thing going to pass, John?
Yes, we're feeling confident. We don't want to take anything for granted, but all the polling that we've done, all the polling that's been out there that we've seen publicly, shows us with a solid majority, and we're feeling confidently going into these last 6 weeks here.
Okay, that's John Payne. He's campaign manager for Legal Mo 2022. John, thanks for your time, and appreciate it very much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Up to Date is a production of KCUR 89.3. Our theme music was composed by the great Bobby Watson. The program is produced by Danny Alexander, Zach Wilson, Elizabeth Ruiz, and Reginald David. Our engineer is Paul Nakatura. I'm Steve Kraske. Thanks for listening.